It's time for Open Journal's Community Spotlight, where listeners like you produce your own program. This airtime is a free service offered to those interested in sharing their knowledge, talent, and passions. This is also a space to audition new programming. Opinions expressed in Open Journal may not reflect the views of the Pacifica Foundation, its staff, board, or volunteers. Information shared on Open Journal should not take the place of appropriate professional consultation. Now it's time for Open Journal's Community Spotlight here on KPFT Houston.
Good morning. This is Dina Pollard-Sachs, your host today. We're going to be talking about corporal punishment in the schools, and I have my guest today, Elizabeth Gershoff, a professor at University of Texas at Austin, and Professor George Holden, who is a professor at SMU in Dallas. Thank you both so much for joining me.
Good morning.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, no problem. You know, I was thinking, before we get into the actual problem of school corporal punishment, let's talk a little bit about what we know about the problems that corporal punishment causes for children, because I know that both of you are experts in this, and I would like to start with you, Dr. Gershoff. What kind of problems can just regular spanking lead to in a child?
Well, spanking actually leads to many of the things that parents and schools want to prevent when they're disciplining children. And so it's been associated with increases in kids' aggression over time, their problem behavior, mental health problems, difficulty with adults in their lives, such as parents. And in families, it's been associated with an increased risk of actual physical abuse. There's much less research about physical punishment, specifically in the schools, but what we expect is that most of the same outcomes we'll see in the schools as we do in the home.
Yeah. And what exactly is it about hitting a person's body that causes them to have low self-esteem or to have other problems with aggression? I mean, it almost seems like if someone's hit enough, they'd be subdued, they'd be, quiet, this idea of beating the devil out of them or subduing a child by hitting him into submission. Why does it not work that way? Why is it actually the opposite of what a lot of parents expect through spanking?
Well, what's interesting is that I think no one's surprised when you find someone who's been hitting their dog a lot, and the dog is very aggressive and very assertive and angry. And for some reason, when we hit children a lot, we don't expect that same thing. That when someone is hit a lot, they become resentful. It's a painful experience. They associate that pain and fear with whoever delivered the punishment, so whether it be parents or teachers. And so that's going to damage the relationship with that person and make it less likely that the child will trust them and listen to any of the disciplinary messages that the adult is giving.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. It also just seems to me that, when the person you love the most, and as a child, your parents are everything to you. They're it's all you know. They're your entire world. And when the person you trust the most hurts you physically, it would seem there might be even a deeper distrust of the world at large. And I know that there are some studies showing that there's a higher divorce rate among people who are hit a lot as children, not to mention more alcoholism, drug abuse, and suicide. And I'd like to go to Dr. Holden for just a moment and just ask what do the studies tell us about, children or adults who were spanked as children and their problems with relationships or drugs or any other, dysfunction that we believe results from being hit?
Well, Dr. Gershoff is actually the world's expert on that question, but I certainly am familiar with the literature, and a whole slew of negative associations have been linked to children who have been spanked, and particularly spanked frequently, and it the data, even though we don't have the experimental studies to conclusively identify spanking as a causal agent, certainly given the massive amount of research that has found similar effects, and given that the psychological theory also points to negative consequences associated with spanking and corporal punishment, it's no surprise that children who are spanked develop lots of problems. It's confusing for a child to be hit by the parent who they love and expresses love to them at one point, and then at the next moment hurting them. So it creates depression. It can create depression in some kids, certainly anxiety, and as well as for other kids, it may result in aggression, as Dr. Gershoff indicated. So there's lots, depending on a variety of variables, there's lots of different kinds of consequences that then evolve over time into more problems as the child grows and begins dating, begins intimate relationships with others, and becomes a parent. So it's not surprising at all that corporal punishment can result in a wide variety of negative consequences.
Yeah, I remember reading a long time ago and doing my research that corporal punishment is associated with all sorts of, you know, physical violence later in life.
Right.
A greater likelihood of hitting a girlfriend, a boyfriend, a spouse, their child, of course. They call that transgenerational. You learn to hit from your parents and you pass it on to your children.
Right.
unless you're one of the few who actually stops that transgenerational habit. And I remember reading once a study that said that if you are going to stop that transgenerational habit, you're most likely to be a female with at least one graduate degree and be over 30 when you have that child. And I thought, well, that's me, you know, and that's what I did. I did stop it in my family. I did not agree with it early on. I was very fortunate to have a professor at University of Washington years ago. And Washington's, you know, a pretty liberal state. And our professor told us in class, do not hit your child. And it was a basic psychology class and basic, you know, child psychology or developmental psychology. But it stuck in my brain because he was so adamant, you know, in this class of 200 or whatever it was. And I remember then many years later reading about it and deciding he was probably right. Now, Liz, I'd like to, Dr. Gershoff, I'd like to ask you one more question. I've read some studies about how children who are subject to a lot of corporal punishment have lower standardized test scores. And I remember reading one study where they said the girls actually were affected more than the boys, but the average effect was, you know, 10 IQ test points. That's on the Stanford-Binet scale, which that's a standard deviation, for goodness sake. That's a lot. And so my question is, what do the studies say about the effect of hitting kids on their cognitive development, cognitive speed, you know, the things the SAT and other IQ tests for, and you know, why? Why does this happen?
That is an excellent question, and we've research has only begun to look at that question about whether there's a link at all, and then to try to understand why it might be there. And I've only been able to find a few well-done studies that have tried to link corporal punishment to children's cognitive abilities, whether they be assessed through achievement tests or IQ scores or something like that. And it's not a consistent finding. Let's see, I'm looking at some data right now, and five of the six studies find spankings associated with increases in poor performance, or so decreases in performance. And so it looks like there's a link between spanking and poor performance in school. Why that is unclear. It's probably not a direct link. It's not that being spanked somehow changes the structure of the brain and how children learn. But what it could do is interfere with their ability to learn. That if a child is having mental health problems because of being spanked, they might have a harder time in focusing in school and being able to take advantage of the learning environment.
Right, that makes a lot of sense. This is Dina Pollard-Sack. You're listening to KPFT. We're talking about corporal punishment in the schools and corporal punishment generally. My guests are Dr. George Holden from SMU and Dr. Elizabeth Gershoff from University of Texas at Austin. Back to just the idea of corporal punishment in the schools and what's going on there. So we've talked a little bit about what we know spanking does to kids generally, but in the schools, is there any reason to think that the same negative effects that we, you know, see in the research that occur when a parent hits a child, you know, somehow doesn't occur in the schools, or can we pretty much expect that it's the same outcomes? Because I know there isn't that much research on the effects of corporal punishment in the schools, but there's a lot of research on the effects of corporal punishment in the home. So my question to either of my experts is there any reason to think that the same negative effects would not occur when the hitting is being done by a coach or a teacher or a principal as opposed to a parent?
I would say many of the same psychological dynamics are operating. You have a more powerful authority figure who is inflicting pain on the child, and so many of the similar processes, the child's psychological responses and the both the immediate responses and then longer-term responses will be similar. You know, there's obvious differences with perhaps, you know, frequency with which the child is spanked, and the child doesn't have the same intense relationship with the teacher or the principal or the associate principal as the parent. But I think it will result in some of the same negative consequences that spanking from a parent would result in.
Yeah. And what describe for our listening audience, you know, where the states are that are still hitting kids in school, because I think it's 30 states that have now outlawed hitting kids in school, either by state legislative
31.
Action. 31 states, sorry. Right. So we've got 19 states left who are still hitting kids in school. Are these states, where are they?
These are predominantly southern states. It's most spanking in schools is live and well in especially Texas, Arkansas, Mississippi, Tennessee, and Alabama. And those five states count for three-quarters of all the corporal punishment administered to children. But Oklahoma, Louisiana, Georgia, it's still legal in public schools, as well as some others where it's rarely used, such as Wyoming, Kansas, Idaho.
Right, I remember looking at a map once of the states that hit kids in school still, and it looked so much to me like the same states that you know, own slaves and you know, refused to let go of that as well. I thought it was striking just that looking at the two maps side by side, the slave states and then the
yeah,
states hit
yeah.
Hit kids, and it seems to be sort of a function of a lack of progress, a lack of understanding about, you know, what's going on in sociology and psychology research, and a failure to just, you know, keep up. And so, you know, I know there's this bill pending. Go ahead.
There's no question that in southern states, the practice is deeply culturally entrenched. And I agree with you that what's really needed is education and effective education to inform both teachers and parents that it's not an effective way to try to rear children.
When you say it's entrenched in the South, what is that? Is that just culture? Is it religion? Is it the fact that the South in general has, you know, a lower socioeconomic status among the people, less education among the people? What is
right.
it?
Those are all operating. There's no question.
All of it. Okay. So,
yeah.
So partly religious, partly this idea of spare the rod and spoil the child. And just culturally, it's just sort of like a value system that exists down here. Because I know, I mean, I'm from Tacoma, Seattle area, and it's just so different up there. You just see a very different attitude about pretty much everything. But certainly there's much more, I think, of an open-mindedness to studies and whatnot. I think that area does respond legislatively to studies a little quicker. So why, you know, first of all, Congress wouldn't need to act if each state would take a look at this research and respond to it, you know, in accordance with the best interests of the people and the children of the state. So basically, when Congress does act, that's telling us Congress is feeling they need to step in to get these southern states to knock it off when 31 states have managed to do it on their own. I just find that a little bit sad. You're listening to Dina Pollard-Sachs with KPFT. We're talking about child corporal punishment in the schools today, as well as a little bit in the homes. We're going to take a station break, and we'll be right back.
All right, let's check your traffic and weather. A bus accident on I-10, the East Freeway inbound just before 59, is blocking two main lanes, 17 minutes from the East Loop to 59. On 290, the Northwest Freeway, 8 minutes from FM 1960 to Beltway 8. An accident is blocking three inbound frontage road lanes at Hollister. Another accident westbound at Hollister is blocking one frontage road lane. On 45, the Gulf Freeway northbound, a stalled car is blocking a main lane at the Loop. And on the West Loop, it's 7 minutes from Shepherd to the Katy Freeway, then 6 minutes from the Katy Freeway to I-10. 88 degrees already, feels like 96. By 2 p.m., we should reach our high of 98 degrees. The National Weather Service has issued a heat advisory in effect from noon to 8 p.m. Tomorrow, we'll see a high of 96. 93 Friday, Saturday, high 91. Sunday, 89. And over the weekend, we also have a small chance of rain. I'm Luke Jones of the KPFT Traffic and Weather Center.
Yes, let's go back to the bill pending for Congress. I remember, gosh, it must have been more than 2 years ago that I took a look and drafted some sections of this bill. Carolyn McCarthy has introduced it, I think, twice, and it's now pending. Unfortunately, when I got online yesterday, the prediction of it passing is 3%, and that's based in part on only the fact that only 4% of House bills pass altogether overall. So it doesn't look real good right now, but I know that 20 or 30 congressmen and women have signed on, so we'll see what happens. But just for the listening audience to get clear, we're talking about a taxing and spending clause bill created by Congress. And, you know, Congress has tremendous authority to act, to attach strings to money, for example, when they get out money under the spending clause. This is something Congress clearly can do. There should not be any constitutional issue in this at all. And what Congress has done or is trying to do through Carolyn McCarthy is trying to make contingent the receipt of federal funding for schools contingent upon stopping the corporal punishment. So in other words, the 19 states that hit would get no federal funding at all for education unless they stop using corporal punishment. And I'm sure if it passes, they will stop because they'll need their money. But some statistics on school paddling the schools. Can either of my experts give a little insight into who is getting hit? I mean, is this something that's randomly done in the schools, or is it not quite so random?
Let me just jump in to start this part of the conversation by saying the types of transgressions or misbehaviors that kids are getting spanked for include things like not sitting in the assigned seat, getting low grades, public display of affection, being inattentive, being noncompliant, first grader who circled rather than underlined the correct response, talking in class, tardiness. So very, very minor, common kind of child behaviors are getting, at least for some kids, resulting in this corporal punishment.
Yeah, I actually have a list here from a publication I wrote a couple years ago in UC Davis Law Review, and here's some of the things that I listed directly from the cases. Using abusive language toward a school bus driver, no clarity on what that was exactly, continuing to play dodgeball after being instructed to stop, disrupting class, failing to turn in a homework assignment, humming in the boys' bathroom. And these have resulted in, you know, very serious injuries sometimes. One student was slapped for breaking an egg while attempting a technology class experiment. Boys in Washington State, my home state, were struck in the testicles for disciplinary reasons. That led to the abolishment of corporal punishment in schools, thank goodness. Piercing a student's arm with a straight pin as punishment. Kicking the, I can't say this word, it's one of George Carlin's seven filthy words, kicking the snot, let's say, out of a student for throwing a dodgeball toward the coach in response to the coach's request to hand over the ball. Mm. I mean, some, and breaking a pencil in class, teacher put a student in a chokehold, which resulted in loss of consciousness and a broken nose and teeth. Forced painful exercise, excessive exercise led to death not too long ago. I remember a case out of the Sixth Circuit where the kid coach was angry at the kid and hit the kid with a weight, knocked the child's eyeball out, which hung by the socket for some time and eventually fell out and he lost it. In any event, these are the kinds of things going on. And the transgressions, as you say, just aren't necessarily that big. It's not like they've got a gun in their hand or a knife in their hand. These are things, you know, breaking a pencil during an exam, breaking a pencil in class. It just sounds like the crime, you know, doesn't quite fit the punishment. In any event, but let's talk about the people being hit. I mean, is this something that's done randomly to students, or is there some, are certain kids more likely to be hit than others? If either of you are...
Dr. Gershoff, do you want
to... Yeah, well, we actually know that boys are much more likely than girls to get corporally punished in schools, to get paddled. We also know that African-American students are more likely to get paddled than any of the other races. And unfortunately, we also know that children with demonstrated disabilities are more likely than kids without disabilities to be paddled.
Yeah, I remember looking at some of these studies in the past, and just to get an idea, in 1976, over 1.5 million kids were paddled in school. By 2006, the number dropped, but Texas is still leading the pack with about 50,000 students per year being hit during 2004-2005, and that's the most recent statistic I have. Now, something else that is important to understand, these statistics are kept by the Department of Education in Washington, D.C., but they're kept per child. So once the child is hit once and reported once for that school year, it's never reported again. That child could be hit 20 times, 30 times, 50 times. It still counts as one. So these statistics are a little bit, you know, confusing in that they don't really talk about how much hitting is being done. It talks about how many children are being hit. And we look at the statistics on the racial disparity, it is nauseating. I mean, one study showed that black boys were 16 times more likely to be hit in school than white girls, just statistically. And ADD kids, much more likely to be hit than other kids. I mean, the kids who really need extra help and extra understanding, they can be frustrating to work with, but they're the ones more likely to be hit. And I remember a study out of North Carolina, I think it was, not too long ago, where they showed that the ADD kids were much more likely to be hit, like 3 or 4 times more likely to be hit than the kids without disabilities. And I find those statistics alone, to me, are enough reason to stop the corporal punishment in the schools, regardless of all the other dangers. It's just not fairly distributed. This is Dina Pollard-Sachs. You're listening to KPFT's Open Journal. We're talking about corporal punishment in the schools today. And my guests are Dr. George Holden of SMU and Dr. Elizabeth Gershoff of the University of Texas at Austin. So we've also had a number of cases on school paddling, and the courts basically have left it up to the schools, which is one of the reasons why I think our legislature is acting now. One of the things the courts have said is that the school environment is, you know, presumably safe. I mean, kids, you know, it's an open environment. No one's going to do anything wrong in the school setting because it's open to inspection and whatnot. Not exactly the stories I've heard, though, in terms of whether that's accurate. The courts have said kids have no procedural due process. They get no hearing, no notice, nothing. They said that the likelihood of being heard is so small that it's just negligible. And they said that they don't have any opportunity at all, even to hear the charges against them before being paddled in school. So we've got that problem going on. I know some people have tried to litigate that in the courts, but we're not getting anywhere in the same states that continue to corporally punish children. So other states have said, you know, yeah, we agree that shouldn't be done, but the same states that we're dealing with that would be forced to stop the corporal punishment to get their federal funding if Carolyn McCarthy's bill passes are the same states who have the courts that just don't see it that way.
Related to that is the issue of human rights. And we don't typically in the U.S. think about children's rights, but surely children have a right not to be hit. And that's a basic right for anyone. And I wish the courts would recognize that ban corporal punishment on that basis.
Yeah, and you know, courts all over the world have done that. I remember reading about a highest court in Italy banning it years ago, and many, many states have banned it, even in the home. In terms of banning corporal punishment in the schools, we're one of the only countries, you know, first world countries that allow that. But even banning it in the homes has been done all over the world. Most of Western Europe, Israel, Latvia, Norway, Sweden, Denmark, I mean, all over the world. And here we are in America, this supposedly, you know, progressive country where we have less children's rights than just about anywhere in the world.
Right. Yeah, there's actually now 4 African countries that have banned it.
And here we are, right? It's so hard for me to understand this. And one of the funniest things to me is, you know, because I do teach constitutional law, and a lot of our students come into class thinking we're one of the countries with the greatest rights anywhere. And by the end of the class, they realize actually our rights in this country are nowhere near where they should be in so many ways, not just with children, but, you know, racial disparity, bias. We've got a lot of problems here. But it seems to me that with a country as prosperous as ours, we would have more of an emphasis on what we know from the social scientists. And this is something that I've heard over and over again, both in relation to this type of research and also with the research on the video games in children's minds. The researchers, the experts, the people like both of you who know what's happening out there, who have access to the research, they're not being listened to in the courts. It's particularly difficult with regard to the violent video game cases and how the courts have sort of disregarded these researchers who have spent their lives understanding what video games do to children or what corporal punishment does to children. So it seems like there's a real disconnect there. And another thing, why, you know, knowing all these studies, why is it that parents continue to hit? I mean, we know we have a problem with the schools. People are working on it. We've got a congressional bill pending now. But why is it that people, knowing this research, being aware of these studies, hearing shows like this today, why do they persist in hitting their kids at home?
Well, for lots of reasons. Some people will just disregard the evidence because they think, based on their own personal story and their history, how they were treated by their parents, how they think they turned out, that spanking is effective. Part of the reason is because they can see spanking is effective in the immediate. So in the next couple of minutes, the child is not going to misbehave again. But parents are not thinking about how the child is reacting, and they're not observing the fact that they are repeatedly spanking for the same misbehaviors. So clearly the child is not learning how to behave better based on that punishment.
Right. So they're looking at the immediate effect and not looking at the long-term effects.
Right.
And they really need to look at the long-term effects, because other things also work in the immediate moment, such as timeout or whatnot. You're listening to Dina Pollard-Sachs and Open Journal. We've been talking about child corporal punishment in the schools with Dr. Elizabeth Gershoff from University of Texas at Austin and Dr. George Holden from SMU. Thank you for listening, and have a great day.